This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you back to another episode of The New World Next Week. This is the 60th episode, and of course, again, we'll remind you, NewWorldNextWeek.com is where you can go to get high-quality, low-quality downloads of these episodes and even MP3 versions of these shows. And again, the success of the show is dependent on the audience out there helping spread the word about this information. So, James, this is our 60th episode, and this is for January 20th, 2011. Now, here in the States, it's still the 19th, and the fanfare has fully begun as Obama formally welcomes Chinese President Hu Jintao to the United States, and we'll take this from the Los Angeles Times. President Obama welcomed Chinese President Hu Jintao to the White House on Wednesday morning in a formal ceremony marked by the fanfare reserved only for a visiting head of state. The carefully choreographed ceremony began against the backdrop of music by a Navy brass band. In a display of unity, the south portico of the White House was lined with alternating Chinese and American flags. With contingents from the U.S. Coast Guard, Air Force, Navy, Marines, and Army gathered on the South Lawn, Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama, he wearing a red tie and she wearing red gloves, greeted Hu as his limousine arrived. A 21-gun salute set off by cannons along Constitution Avenue was heard as the Chinese national anthem played. Obama and Hu greeted a small crowd of Chinese students and other guests, shaking hands along a rope line before making their remarks, such as, quote, "The United States welcomes China's rise as a strong, prosperous, and successful member of the community of nations. Indeed, China's success has brought with it economic benefits for our people as well as yours, and our cooperation on a range of issues has helped advance stability in the Asia-Pacific and in the world." This goes on with the related fanfare, but James, when it really gets down to it, we want to look at some of our related stories, and that would be a story from just a couple of days ago in anticipation of this large visit from the Wall Street Journal, and that's not going to be the first time we visit the Wall Street Journal on this episode, with an article, "Who Highlights Need for U.S.-China Cooperation, comma, Questions Dollar." Some of Mr. Hu's most significant comments dealt with the future of the dollar and currency exchange rates, saying, quote, "The current international currency system is the product of the past," end quote. He said, noting the primacy of the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency and its use in international trade and investment. James.
And so it begins, doesn't it? I mean, this is exactly what has been carefully constructed for decades now, ever since Herr Rockefeller went over to China for Chase Manhattan to pave the way for Nixon. And ever since then, China has been the model for the world and the model that the UN wants to strive towards and the model that all of these well-connected global elite want to strive towards, like Maurice Strong and all these people who run away to China because they know this is exactly what all of this globalism and offshoring has been leading towards, is the construction of a new boogeyman in a new economic Cold War to supplant the old Cold War with the Soviet Union. Now it's going to be China, and we're seeing the rise of China in absolutely predictable fashion, because this is exactly what everything has been being constructed for decades now. And the Clinton administration, of course, was selling all sorts of military technology and secrets to China. And again, this has been going on for decade after decade, through administration after administration, because this is exactly where the global elite want all of the offshoring and the money to go. And Americans have been subjected to a system where basically they're paying for the slave labor of Chinese slave goods, and that system is going to come around and haunt them one day, because unfortunately that's the way they want to take the entire economy of the world. And personally, I'm not going to take a bite out of it, but here it is. They're unveiling the first steps towards it to the masses, and we can all just sit there and watch and stare and marvel at how, oh, now the U.S. dollar is no longer the world reserve currency. Now it's the Chinese yuan. What are we going to do about it?
Yeah, and you're exactly right. So whether it's Nixon or Clinton or Obama, it makes no difference. And this agenda for a new world order continues. So one other related bit we'll throw in before we move to our second story. China's $90 billion ups cyber war stakes, and that is posted on cyberspacewar.com, and you can read a nice little think tank piece as a PDF from the fine folks at Northrop Grumman. Now, having said that, let's move to our second story, which is quite related, and it's all based around a pretty amazing New York Times piece that will take, with the thankful headline from Cryptogon.com, New York Times on Stuxnet. Israelis tested it at Dimona, developed it with help from Siemens. Worm sends fake data to plant operators indicating normal centrifuge operations as the machines destroy themselves. So reading briefly from the article, the Dimona complex in the Negev desert is famous as the heavily guarded heart of Israel's never-acknowledged nuclear arms program, where neat rows of factories make atomic fuel for the arsenal. Over the past 2 years, according to intelligence and military experts familiar with its operations, Dimona has taken on a new, equally secret role as a critical testing ground in a joint American and Israeli effort to undermine Iran's efforts to make a bomb of its own. We'll hit a quote from an unnamed American expert on nuclear intelligence who says, quote, to check out the worm, you have to know the machines. The reason the worm has been effective is that the Israelis tried it out. So we reference the help from the German company Siemens, which of course connects to IG Farben and the Nazis, but we don't have time to get into that right now. But let's cut to the heart of this. The worm itself, and we're speaking about Stuxnet, which has been raging now for several months, the worm itself now appears to have included two major components. One was designed to send Iran's nuclear centrifuges spinning wildly out of control. Another seems right out of the movies. The computer program also secretly recorded what normal operations at the nuclear plant looked like, then played those readings back to the plant operators like a pre-recorded security tape in a bank heist, so that it would appear that everything was operating normally while the centrifuges were actually tearing themselves apart. James.
Wait, James, are you saying that this Stuxnet worm was created by governments? You mean it wasn't just made by some script kiddies for a laugh?
Exactly.
Oh, my God, I can't believe this.
Another conspiracy theory turns out to be true, because many had speculated, and not just wildly in the past several months, that this came probably from U.S.-Israeli cooperation.
Yeah, color me shocked. But I suggest people go and read some of these stories on this, some of the articles on this story, because you'll find out that the reason that the Israelis were able to test this is because they had the exact same type of nuclear facilities at their top secret nuclear facility that no one knows about except everyone in the world at Dimona. So that's just another aspect of this story. But I guess what's really interesting here is that this is the real paradigm of cyber war and cyber terror, and this is what's really going on behind the scenes, and this is why China is spending tens of billions of dollars on cyber warfare operations, and this is why the U.S. is spending however many billions they are, who knows how many, but at least tens of billions or hundreds of billions, and this is why this is warfare of the future, because the things that are possible with this type of warfare is really unthinkable, but there you go. It always comes back to the to big government with their unlimited amount of resources to throw at this type of thing, and without the government being able to make these types of weapons, it would be a very different world and different cyber online community. And I just posit to the viewers out there who might have seen my recent Sunday update about the new Homeland Security campaign, Stop, Think, Connect. If you haven't made a video of your own yet, I suggest this might be a good topic to bring up in your own video about Stop, Think, Connect, where you could point out that, oh yeah, the big Stuxnet worm, yeah, that was U.S.-Israeli government project. So just another aspect of cyber warfare, but again, not very surprising to anyone who's been paying attention.
Absolutely, and when you throw in other characters like A.Q. Khan and Donald Rumsfeld, this is all just another illustration of the fact that, again, these elites, these sort of self-described, you know, leaders, they pay no attention to flags and countries and beliefs. They just let all us petty masses fight about those things while, again, their agenda rolls forward. So, James, to fully flesh out that story, let's move to our third and final story on this episode. And we'll take this from grist.org. In his Wall Street Journal op-ed, Obama moves to the right on regulation. 16 months ago, Obama stood in the well of Congress and issued a ringing call for a progressive vision of government. And now, President Obama, with the 2012 election drawing ever near, is embracing a far less generous vision. In an op-ed in the January 18th Wall Street Journal, truly the belly of the conservative beast, The president embraces a frame for the coming discussion about the role of regulation in society that is right out of the Republican hymnal, calling for balance between safety and economic growth, and bemoaning regulations that sometimes place unreasonable burdens on business, burdens that have stifled innovation and have had chilling effect on growth and jobs. He also used the op-ed to announce a new initiative, quote, to review outdated regulations that stifle job creation and make our economy less competitive, end quote. By casting the discussion in those terms, the president swallows the GOP's frame for the debate, hook, line, and sinker. If you listen carefully, you might hear the voices of disbelief and anguish from the families of the workers killed at the Deepwater Horizon disaster, the 29 workers whose lives were lost at the Big Branch mine in West Virginia, or the folks who've died from Salmonella and E. coli. Sure, they think to themselves as they read about the president's new detente initiative with big business, we all need jobs, but aren't all those billions in profits and executive bonuses enough for the business sector? Didn't the government bailouts of the big banks do the trick? Now, I'll close this out by mentioning, and we'll provide links for you, that this op-ed in the Wall Street Journal by Barack Obama, or James, as you like to say, the man commonly referred to as President Obama, it's called Toward a 21st Century Regulatory System. And if that doesn't sound like it's straight from the Council on Foreign Relations, the subhead to this article is, if the FDA deems saccharin safe enough for coffee, then the EPA should not treat it as hazardous waste. And there's also mention of yet another executive order from the Obama-siah called Improving Regulation and Regulatory Review. James.
Well, James, we could spend an entire New World Next Week episode just on that subhead alone, but I'll just invite readers and viewers and listeners out there to read that for themselves and just ponder that subhead. But at any rate, if you go and actually read this op-ed, it's pretty interesting, I think, that this is coming from Obama, and I can see certainly why those on the left side of the phony, fake, controlled, utterly garbage paradigm of left and right would be up in arms, because this is the right-wing talking point, blah, blah, blah. But I think the point is that deregulation, of course, I'm in favor of deregulation. I think there is too much government regulation, but what we're talking about is kind of, I think we're playing a game, and the game is Monopoly, appropriately enough. And you can change the rules in Monopoly. You can change how much money people get at the start, or how much money they collect when they pass go, and you can change, you know, which piece you're using around the board. But you're not fundamentally changing the game. The game is still set. You are still playing Monopoly. You're still playing in a rigged system. If you want to play a different game, like, oh, I don't know, Freedom, you would have to do something completely, utterly different. It would be a different board. It would be a different monetary system. You would have to utterly change everything from the ground up. And in that system, government deregulation would be a wonderful thing. In the system that we're in right now, it's like deck chairs on the Titanic. And as the first story pointed out, if the US dollar is no longer the world reserve currency, the American economy is going to be in the toilet very, very soon.
Now, James, we're going to have to wrap it up here quickly. I just want to throw out a couple other connecting points that you mentioned Monopoly. And of course, the Monopoly man is a caricature of J.P. Morgan. And to go back to our first story about Hu Jintao, after a couple of days of hoo-ha in Washington, D.C., guess where he's going? To Chicago, of course, because that's where this sort of corrupt current political machine makes their base, whether it's Rahm Emanuel or Obama or the Daily Gangsters or any of those things. Again, it's all really connected. James, before we close it out, and I'll throw it back to you to finish it off, you have an announcement to make.
Yes, I just want to thank everyone for bearing with me while I transferred to the new server and put up the new website. It is now up. You should be able to see it at CorbettReport.com, so thank you for bearing with me. And there will be a video up just explaining and introducing the new site. But suffice it to say, if you were an email subscriber, you have to resubscribe to the new email subscription list, so you will no longer be getting emails from the old subscription list. And also, if you want the old website for some reason, it is still up at TheCorbettReport.com, T-H-E, TheCorbettReport.com. You can still see the old style. I just won't be updating that anytime soon, and it'll be going away shortly. But if you want to see the old website for whatever reason, it's TheCorbettReport.com. So thank you for that. And that's all for me for this week. So James, thank you again for all your help.
Thank you. Take care.